All right, and we are all systems go with our first episode of Boot Camp. So this is going to be a small mini-series that Top Ends Talk is going to be doing. We are fortunate enough to have some really awesome guests associated to this, and it's just going to be on boot culture. So, you know, all fun here. So I'm actually going to go ahead and start rounding off some introductions. I am your host, Tim Camerot. At Footy Coogee on Twitter, always with my co-host, Marcin Kaczmarski.
What's up, everybody? This is Marcin, as usual, coming in hot. You can find me at Twitter at PLUventino. So that is my at.
All right, great. And we are fortunate enough, like I said before, to have two awesome, qualified, handsome guests right here as we record on Skype. So we have James. Why don't you introduce yourself, James?
Hey, I wouldn't go as far as handsome, but I am bearded. My name's James from Boot Wizard, or The Boot Wizard, however you want to address me. And youtube.com/BootWizard. That's my primary space where I upload all of my different boot reviews, unboxings, and all that kind of good stuff. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, cool. And then last but certainly not least, the man in the Derby County shirt. Let's go with Andrew. Why don't you say hey to everybody?
Hey, how's it going? I'm Andrew. I write Gaijin Boot Blog. Blech. That's my Instagram as well. Guy with a G-A-I, because it's spelled Japanese style. Because why not?
And that's the idea behind this whole series that we're getting ready to do. Why not? So we're going to jump in. We're going to do part one of this. So I actually, beyond introductions, you guys have some interesting backstories. We just got to throw it out there. We're actually going to go ahead and start with Andrew here. Andrew, you moved to Japan from Texas, if I'm correct.
Yep.
All right. So, and you have a huge deal in retail history when it comes to cleats. So if you, for however comfortable you are getting as personal as you are, you can even tell us your favorite color. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself?
It's black, if you really want to know. So I was born in Texas. Lived there till I was about 10. Then I moved to the UK and lived in Derby, and that's why I'm a Derby supporter. Moved back to Texas, and then I always loved to travel. Visit Japan, met my wife here, always was interested in Japan, didn't think I'd ever get married, so that's, you know. And then a few years ago, I decided to move to Japan with my wife, much to the chagrin of the last soccer store I worked at, where I was the footwear manager and the buyer for the whole company. So,
So what made, usually people jump around shop to shop when it comes to football boots, especially, so what is it about football boots and football culture that kind of brought you in and made you think of having a career there for as long as you did?
Man, it was just fun talking shop to people all the time about stuff, like, learning as you go, like, just learning all sorts of random different boots. And, like, it's as big as it is, it's still really niche in a lot of ways. And, I kind of like that. And especially in Texas, it's a small world with soccer there, and you knew everybody. And of course, people knew when I actually started at another company and then left and joined a bigger company, which upset the owner of the previous company a lot. But
I wonder why. That doesn't sound like that would be a terrible thing at all.
But great. I had my customers follow me and stuff. But it was just nice being able to talk shop with people all the time. And, it was just fun. I honestly, I would love to get back and work at another store. It's crazy at times. It's painful as heck, but it's so rewarding in a lot of other ways. There's a lot of cool stuff you get involved in. So,
all right. So now it's cheesy, but I have to ask you, and James, just be ready, because I'm going to ask you the same question. Football boots equals football. You clearly have a passion for the sport as well. Mm-hmm. What is the sport for you? Everybody kind of gets something different out of it. So what do you get out of the sport?
Man, just everything. For a long time, it was pretty much my only focus. I tried going professional, and I got some offers, but turned them down. James knows about how difficult the pyramid is in England. So I had some offers in the UK, turned them down. But I mean, you know, even after that, it was just like, I just love being around it. I love watching it. I love playing it. I love talking shop. Just, I don't know. It feels like you're part of this, like, even as many people watch football around the world, it feels like you're just part of this nice community. You know, in spite of all the, you know, there may be a lot of negative stuff, but there's so much positive stuff. And I think that's one of the things I love the most. It's just the passion, real positivity. I mean, I'm on this podcast, for example. I mean, I don't know any other way that something like this would come together. So
so you'd say it's, yeah, it's more than a game for you. That's the perk of it. That's the fun of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the end all of everything, but it's such a big part of my life. And it's such just a big deal for, like, you know, how I am as a person, as cheesy as that may sound.
You're talking to the chief of cheese over here, so don't even worry about it. I'm full of tacky.
I can 100% Marcin can attest verify. To. Yeah, I can 100% verify everything that Tim is saying. He is the daddest of dads.
Yes.
And so, last thing for you, Andrew, is what, you know, you obviously put together your boot blog. What's your long-term goal for your platform? What do you want out of, you know, what do you want to gain from that? Is, you know, is it contributing back to the community? What do you hope to achieve from there?
I think actually my first goal has already been succeeded, is just doing stuff like this. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, I don't live in a very big city. My closest store with a decent selection is about 30 minutes away. My closest specialty store is more than an hour away. So, like, you know, I can talk a little bit with my teammates and stuff, but there's not a whole lot of, because, you know, I'm kind of in the countryside, kind of. There's not a whole lot of, like, boot nerds out here. But, like, doing stuff like this and getting involved, like, that's been the biggest goal for me. And I'm so happy to achieve meet, you know, you guys, do stuff like this, you know, talk to people. And I know people might think it's circular at times, but this is one of the biggest things for me. It's just being able to talk to other people. I would like to make it viable somewhat. let me put it this way. I would at least like to get, you know, some recognition from companies or get some boots for, you know, on comp.
You can say free 99. We're all here. That's all right.
Yeah, we all want free boots.
Yeah. Or you know, at the very least, like, at least make enough money to buy a pair of boots, because man alive.
Those are humble goals, and I appreciate all of them. And while we're speaking about interesting scenarios, I'm gonna switch it over to James here. The man from the Yorkshire area over to Denmark, to Copenhagen. So, I mean, what's that? Wait, what? I never even thought to ask, like, you know, that is a unique shift, you know? Like, so what's the idea behind that? What ended up happening there?
It's actually a lot more complicated than Yorkshire to Copenhagen, I'm afraid. I give you the short version, which is, I grew up in Yorkshire. I was there till I was like 18. Then I moved off to university. And then when I graduated, so I did my degree in sports science. When I graduated, it was kind of peak, like, recession time. And nobody hires sports scientists during the recession. People don't hire sports scientists most of the time anyway. You know, it's one of those degrees that I really enjoy doing and I actually did quite well in, but it serves very little purpose. So after that happened, the company I was working for part time as a student was hiring, so I kind of took a better job with them, and I moved to Ireland. And then from living in Ireland, I ended up getting something else. I moved to the Netherlands. Then I went traveling and I went to New Zealand. Essentially, what happened was I ended up, as of this point, I've lived in 9 different countries. I have like 9 different bank accounts in 9 different countries, but not in that, like, not in that really cool, like, offshore bank account kind of way, in that I just didn't close accounts and they've all got no money in them kind of way. So what happened is in Australia, I moved back to Europe because my visa expired. through a variety of things, I ended up moving to Denmark. And my reason for moving here was I visited here once when I lived in the Netherlands and I liked it and I went, why not? So yes, now I live in, Denmark for no reason other than I visited once and it was nice. And I still live here.
I thoroughly enjoy the fact that you took the spontaneous nature of that decision. Like, you know, that is excellent. That is top shelf for me. So I also hear from what you just told me not too long ago, the weather's excellent in Copenhagen all the time. There's no issues whatsoever.
None whatsoever. We have rain most of the time. During the summer, you get about 2 hours of darkness, so good luck sleeping. During the winter, you get about 2 hours of sunlight, so good luck getting out of bed. I definitely moved here for the phenomenal weather. It's lovely.
Yeah, no, throw the culture aside. It's not, you know, Christian Eriksen aside. That's not the reason we're doing this. So also, you know, you have the Boot Wizard page, which is top shelf stuff. You know, like you got to check it out. You know, like James said, it's on YouTube as well. You know, it's really great because it gives there's an informal kind of take to it, but you're still getting a good amount of information across, which I think is excellent. So why don't you speak a little bit to how you started the Boot Wizard page?
What Andrew said earlier about like the really enjoying the game and like it being more, I have that, but I fell out of love with football kind of around the time I went to university, to be honest, because I kind of fell out of love with the people that I was playing with and the type of people I was playing with. I actually picked up playing lacrosse. So I played lacrosse for quite a long time. And then I stopped playing that through a variety of injuries. I was playing at like a decent level and my options were kind of drop down or like not play. And I couldn't quite hack playing at less than what I knew my total ability was, you know? And then I was like, you know what? Football is a game for everybody. I can get back into this. But on like a, you know, a real base level, I can get into it and I can play for anybody. I play five a side. Doesn't matter. And I've always had a huge love for boots. Like I've got three younger brothers, me and the oldest one of them. We used to chat boots all the time, even as kids. You know, you get the magazines, you'd be looking at the boots in them, who's your favorite player wearing, that kind of stuff. And I kind of missed that. So when I got back into playing, we were chatting about boots again. I was like, this is awesome. I kind of want to do something with this. And it also gave me, honestly, it just gave me an excuse to buy more football boots than I physically needed.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody needs, like, even if you're being like really like over the top about it and you've got like an SG pair, an AG pair, an FG pair, and maybe like a six stud SG just for those really muddy days, that's four pairs of boots. Like, I didn't need 100 pairs of boots, but you know,
here we are.
So it kind of gave me an excuse to do that and to kind of get my way into the community, into the culture a bit and get back into that. I started doing YouTube videos. My first ever review was about a year and a half ago. I did the Nike GS360. And it's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. The camera's awful. The sound is terrible. I sound like the most monotone, bored man in history. But you've got to start somewhere. We've come a long way since then. And honestly, again, kind of like Andrew said, doing things like this is amazing. Like getting to meet all of these people and just building up this collection of boots and really getting the information out to people. I kind of feel like a lot of the stuff that people watch and enjoy, especially like, no, I'm not disparaging them at all. They do phenomenal work, but like ProDirect, Soccer.com, even Unisport, a lot of the stuff they put out, they're trying to sell boots. So they don't really give a huge amount of negative influence. They want to, in the end, you to go out and buy a pair of boots from their store.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't really care. Like, I want you to go out and buy the best boots that you can possibly buy, and I don't mind where you buy them from. So yeah, I feel like I can give like a really objective opinion, and at the same time I can do it in a way that's maybe a little different to what other people are doing. And I do try and keep it a little bit more, like you said, informal, a bit more fun. I sometimes do ridiculous things on my channel. I did shoot a whole intro where I pretended to mix together like a Frankenstein's monster boot.
I did love that one, for the record. That was excellent. It was creative. It was what more could you want besides creativity on that kind of thing?
So it's all the information with a side of good natured fun.
Which is exactly, so it's really great to hear. So, you know, when Andrew's throwing out there and he's saying like, hey, you know, it's more than, you know, football's more than just a game for me. It's, you know, it's the culture, it's people that I meet along the way, and it's a great time. It's really interesting that, you know, from you, we got the other side where it's like, yeah, well, guess what? Not everybody you meet is fun. Like, or like, you know, not everybody you meet is going to be fun to play with or have a good time with. So it's really reassuring that, you know, you can always, to anybody who's listening, you could always jump back into it, which is also a moral that I take from that story, which is awesome. You know, it's the people's game. So, of course, now for you, long-term, besides free boots, what would you like from? Because I'm sure your page is excellent. I'm sure you're getting close there if you're not already. What is your long-term goal for the Boot Wizard?
My initial goal was to have an excuse to buy boots, as I say. and then it's got to the point now where like I put out three videos a week. And I put a huge amount of time into recording and editing this stuff because I do love it. And the more I do it, the more I love it. And the more that I want to do it on a more permanent basis. So yeah, I go out same as everybody. You know, I work a full-time job. I come home. I record videos, I edit those videos. The amount of time that takes is unbelievable. And my goal right now, like it's not going to happen for a good while, is to eventually, hopefully, make this viable enough for it to be a part-time gig for me. So I could do this. I could do my YouTube channel, my Instagram and stuff as a part-time thing. And I could use that with enough income to supplement an actual like another job, so I could do a job plus this.
That is the
grand like pie in the sky theory that I'm going with, and yeah, we can hope and pray.
I appreciate the humbleness of not saying I'm only working pro bono when I do these videos from now on. That's it. As opposed to saying, yeah, part time would be nice. Just a couple extra hours in the day for me to mess around, make some videos.
100%.
So the final question, and this concludes our part one here, is what does football mean to you, James? You know, what is second chance football, if I will?
I think you made a good point earlier. Second chance football. I literally dropped out of the community entirely. And then I jumped back into doing this channel. And I did that without pretty much knowing anybody in the football boot world or in football world. I wasn't even playing at the time, just kind of a couple of casual pickup games. And then back into it and a year and a half later, and I'm sitting on a podcast with you guys, and like there's people to chat to all the time about boots, as you know, all the time, 24 hours a day. The option is there.
Very much so.
And it's amazing. It gives me like, cause similar to what Andrew's saying about like his situation in Japan. Obviously I'm in Denmark, I'm right in the city center, but I was very new here, and it almost gives me like a basis of like, I don't know, it's like a friendship basis of people within the industry that share a real passion that's the same as I do. And it's almost a justification for everything that you do is to find all of these people who are all just as nuts as you are about something that makes completely no sense to nearly anybody you talk to. If I was to walk down the street and ask 10 people, like I describe to them what I do and what we talk about on a daily basis, they would look at me with such a sideways glance and be like, what is wrong with you? But yeah, it's having that, and it's literally on demand, and it's such a great community. And then obviously football itself is a passion. It gives you everything, doesn't it? The highs, the lows, the ups, the downs. You've probably never been like, well, there's very few things in your life, and it's kind of sad to say, that will make you as happy or as sad as a football game can. You know, I was not very like, so people, I'm hoping nobody switches off when I say this, but I'm a Man United fan. I was very young youngish when United won the treble in 99. I still remember exactly where I was, how I felt, like what was going down there. You know, I was only like 14 years old, and that's still such a big part of my life. So like the feelings and everything that goes with it it's very difficult to replicate that with anything else.
Yeah, I definitely say so. Yeah, it's so unique. There's just not a lot that compares to it. And I think you guys kind of encapsulate that in everything that you do. So, you know, that's the interview piece here. And now we're going to jump right into boot culture in football. And here's where, you know, we're going to kind of lean on your expertise a little bit. You know, in boot culture, there's ways that it's impacted the football community in general, right? That's indisputable. So what in, you know, and I'll actually throw this to James first, since he went second the last time. You know, we'll throw it to James first here. Is how has boot culture influenced football in a negative way? You know, is there a focus on flash as opposed to, you know, something that a proper football man would have an issue with, if I will.
I think that part of the, like, I suppose the negative aspect of it that I see very frequently, and it especially comes from Instagram and a lot of the younger kids who are on Instagram, is that their focus is very much on the latest thing, the latest colorway, and their focus is on that and not the quality of the boot or the value for money or anything like that. There's so many that would rather go out and pick up a Mercurial Superfly Academy boot and pay full price for it because it's in the latest colorway, instead of going out and picking up a maybe last season's like top end Adidas Predator. I give that example. It's literally a conversation I had yesterday for less money. So the culture that companies are driving is one of constant updates, latest colorways, importance of new releases, and kind of increased prices, despite the fact that that doesn't have to be the case. And people are picking up on it. And while they're picking up on that, they're picking up on it from the biggest brands and the biggest companies. So it's Nike and Adidas basically that are really driving this. Puma are kind of starting to catch up at this point. And then that also means that the smaller companies have even less to deal with. So the whole thing kind of becomes this big negative cycle, in my opinion, that you have these people who are interested in the latest thing because that's what they're told they need. And then that means that they ignore the older, cheaper product, which means they also ignore the smaller brands. And then they also go back around again and buy the newest thing again, because that's what the brands told them to do. So it's like this big negative cycle of picking up, in my opinion, overpriced and subpar boots just because they're in the latest colorway that we get every single month. I realize we're in a situation now where that's not exactly the case, but Nike and Adidas, they drop a colorway pack pretty much every month. And they're the biggest thing, and that's what everybody wants to go out and buy. And you look at my my YouTube, like you look at the viewing figures, basically. If I put out a video on the brand new Mercurial Vapor Academy, the same example I give there, versus maybe a top end Umbro boot, the Vapor Academy is getting way more views, even if maybe the Umbro boots are a much better option, because people just don't care, because they're told not to care and they kind of believe it. I don't know if I've rambled there, but I think I've got it.
I think you're onto something there. I think you're onto something in the way that, you know, it's almost as if, you know, the culture has shifted from, you know, get what you need to get what we want you to get. is almost how that has shifted. And you know, I'm not looking to get too carried away myself here. I'm just a humble host, so I'm gonna throw it over to Andrew for his negative take on what's going on in the boot culture and in football community that way.
Oh man, how much time you got?
Right, well, I'm putting you on a limit. James maybe thought he rambled, but he maybe took 2 minutes there. And I got to give you the same reprieve because I don't know about I know you're going to have a lot to say. I loved your article on, you know, a new colorway doesn't add anything to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely pepper that in there. That would be excellent. That was an awesome read.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate reading. I really appreciate the kind words. I'm honestly, and again, you may be the king of cheese, but here's some cheese. I'm honestly humbled when anybody has any like feedback like that. You would know, you second guess yourself constantly. Anyways, James touched on, you know, a lot of great pertinent points that, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling hype cycle right now. It's not an accident that the market's designed this way. It's not an accident that brand loyalty is built the way it is. It's done very specifically on purpose. I mean, I don't want into my anti-capitalist rants or whatever, or somebody's saying you're swinging for the wrong audience here. I will say, you sometimes have to question, you know, when if you find yourself defending a multi-billion-dollar company on why they're releasing another colorway. Like, for example, my limited edition boots article. I specifically pointed out the future DNA pack from Nike. It looks cool. Don't get me wrong. The Venom, especially. The T90 Laser 2 was, or not Laser 2, the T90 Air Zoom Total T92. That's a mouthful. Was my first tie-in boot, so I have a lot of very fond memories. But bringing that back and then just bringing it back as a color update and then charging a premium for it is, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think corporations are taking advantage of people in a way because I've talked about hype before. Yeah, I get into hype all the time and I have to draw myself back down. I'm not claiming I'm innocent of any of this. I'm just as bad. So when I write these articles, it's just almost as much telling myself as it's telling everybody else. But, you know, I think we need to take a step back as an industry before, you know, I feel like there's going to be a fall coming and it's not going to be the big brands that get hurt. It's going to be the small brands. And it's purely just based on the fact that, you know, I always dawdle on Nike again, but I mean, they're what a lot of people say is they're a marketing company that just happens to make shoes.
So yeah. True.
So smart.
I mean, I'll tell you this little tidbit. I don't have the source, so I apologize if this is completely wrong. The rumor is Nike wanted to get into football so badly in 98 leading up to that World Cup is they committed $2 billion over a year and a half spending leading up to the World Cup and after the World Cup just to get into the game. So, I mean, they will spend whatever they can to make sure they can maintain that market share now. And I'm not saying they make bad products, but, you know, the culture they've created, I think is, I don't think it's healthy for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's a positive take. I mean, and that's a little bit more insight as well into the future that you threw out there where, you know, it's not just considering what they're doing now, it's also considering how it's impacting the future. So those are two great takes as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the negative. Marcin, did you have something you wanted to ask about the positive?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the negative so much for the last 10 minutes. I feel like we need to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
So we're going to flip this kind of take like 180 degrees. So I'm going to ask Andrew first since you went second last time. we're going to flip this back around and I'm going to do the exact same thing that Tim did. So I'm going to ask you, how has boot culture influenced football positively? So let's get away from the negative and how has football now been positively affected by boot culture?
You got to give him his time limit before he start. Like, I don't know.
If you have a time limit. I'm watching you on the clock right now.
Yeah.
So positivity right now.
You just do the whole wrap it up whenever it go too long. I actually, it's just stuff like this. The little community we built, the community that exists, I think in a lot of ways, it's very inclusive because not everybody can afford every pair of boots. So you don't have to buy the latest boot to have an opinion. You don't have to own the newest thing to have an opinion. You can get involved. Your opinion counts, you're not entitled to have people listen, but you are entitled to say your opinion. And I think that's the cool thing is there's so many varying degrees of opinion. And you get stuff like James mentioned, you've got the guys who have their own stores who are obviously at the end of the day need to sell boots to guys like us who are going to rant to, honestly, probably nobody if it comes down to that. But, we'll still go out there. I mean, I go on YouTube sometimes. Well, I go on YouTube a lot, probably more than healthy for me. But aside from some of the other stuff, I always love looking up like, okay, obviously I watch Boot Wizard stuff. A lot of other guys. You're welcome. It's the beard, man. It's so dreamy. I mean, I don't even know what you're saying half the time. I'm just staring at the beard. But I love going through these videos and even seeing guys they may have like 5 views on a video. But they've still made it, and it's still interesting to hear these guys. It's still knowing like, well, maybe I could talk to this guy on Instagram, or I could find him on Twitter or something. This community, I think, is really, really like positive in a lot of ways. It's nice to be included in something. I think, cheesy again, as humans, we all need that. We all want to belong to something. And I think this has really given a lot of people a chance to belong to something, maybe they feel like, okay, the sneakerhead community is not quite my thing. I love football. Maybe get the football boot community. What's this like? Oh, here's this guy with a beard talking about stuff. Here's this, random dude for some reason who supports Darby and lives in the middle of BFE in Japan, ranting about corporations and stuff. But at the same time, you've got that breadth and width of so many people that you can get involved with and talk to. And it's like, I, for one, love to hear from people like that. I had a guy from Malaysia today actually message me and he was like, why are you a Darby supporter living in Japan? I'm a Darby supporter living in Malaysia, and yeah, that's not football boots, but still the point remains. It's like, it's so inclusive in a lot of ways. And I love it. I love watching the girls with game stuff just because we don't hear enough female voices. I think, but knowing that oh man, they're out there, they're still doing stuff, it's great. It's honestly great to see so many different people doing this stuff. James is Denmark, I'm in Japan, you guys are in the States. I mean, it's so cool. Like, it's all over the world, it's global. And it's just nice to have someone to turn to and talk to about this stuff. I don't know. It's comforting in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Like the human element, to your point, is definitely something that a lot of people kind of forget about when we talk about football. It's like we want that kind of, like you mentioned, we want to feel like we're a part of like a bigger community than what we are. So, I mean, that's a great take. And that's definitely one I haven't heard in a while. So, I mean, I feel like that's an awesome kind of idea on your end. Kind of moving it over to the aforementioned man with the glorious beard, James, I'm going to ask you the exact same question. What do you think has been the new positive kind of ideals that have come out of boot culture in the sport?
Cool. I would firstly like to thank Andrew for completely shafting me by using that answer. How do you follow that?
I mean.
No, it's very true. And I think for positives, from a personal standpoint, I have to start with, if it wasn't for boot culture and boot hype, I wouldn't have a YouTube channel. My channel would simply not exist. My channel lives and dies off brand new product. At the moment, we're running a little bit, obviously, short on product because it's being delayed and stuff, and I'm doing some cool retro reviews and things like that. I've really enjoyed doing it. But there is obviously a limit to that. And the thing that people want to see and the thing that drives my channel is is new and exciting product. So without that, the boot wizard doesn't exist. The beard is not on YouTube, and Andrew's got nothing to stare at when he watches his videos. So that's a positive.
That's my lullaby.
I agree about the community thing. There's so many people that are getting involved with it, but I'm going to look at it from a slightly, I'm going to like leave Andrew's argument because it was fantastic. And I'm going to go a slightly different way. So the way that the bigger companies have kind of dominated the market, especially recently, like we used to have a lot more kind of options till Nike and Adidas particularly started dominating this marketing market. And now everybody, if it doesn't have a swoosh or three stripes, people aren't really that interested. But what that has meant is that the other companies that like fairly like bigger ones without going too small, but like Lotto, Umbro, New Balance, people like that, I feel like they've really upped their game and they're now offering really high quality product. So this hype that's being created by Nike and Adidas primarily is forcing other companies who want to remain in the boot industry to really innovate and try and keep pace with them, which means what we're now getting is really high quality alternatives. What we need to do is to get people to go out and buy those high quality alternatives and support those companies. Like I said, I've mentioned Umbro, the new Velociraptor 5 is a great boot. The UX Accio 3 has fantastic elements. I just got my pair, my next other pair in today. It has some issues, shall we say, but it's got some fantastic, elements. Lotto, I think, have made one of the best laceless boots on the market as a result of what Adidas have forced them to do to keep pace. And then you take New Balance. It's not up on the channel yet, but it will be soon. I recently recorded a video comparing the Mercurial Vapor 13 Elite and the New Balance Furon V6 Pro. Now, if you'd have said 5 years ago that I was going to make a video comparing New Balance's top-end speed boot and Nike's top-end speed boot, you'd tell me I was a ridiculous human being, because what's the point? But if you look at, like, genuinely, you look at these two boots side by side, the tech that's gone into them, the way that they perform, they deserve to be compared. Like, Nike make an incredible speed boot in the Mercurial, but those two boots deserve to be compared, and New Balance have done a fantastic job with that. So if people like me, I suppose, doing reviews can convince people to go out and check these other options out, then we're actually starting to build more competition. It's really helping out.
Cool. Yeah.
James' answer.
So, I mean, we had two very good answers from both Andrew and James. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the quick little side story, my very first pair of boots, and you're going to appreciate this, were Diadoras.
Yes.
Those were the very first boots I've ever owned were Diadoras before I started like venturing out into other brands. But yeah, so I'm very much into the your answer of those smaller companies and kind of building up that tech and really comparing against those big dogs, against Adidas and Nike, because obviously those are Mizuno, obviously one we forget about. I mean, those are really awesome boots. But so obviously kind of talking about boots and talking about large prices, I kind of want to shift this conversation a little bit over to kind of like that aspect. Now, like, obviously, we're going to lean on you guys since you guys are the experts. Do you guys think that the prices of boots will ever kind of like stop increasing? Or is there like a cap or like a limit where people are going to be like, no, that's way too much for boots? Or do you think like this hype culture that has really gone into boots kind of just been like, yeah, astronomical and the prices are just going to keep on inflating? James, you can start this one since we went on the last one.
I'm perfectly happy to start because I feel like I'm going to steal something here, because I was actually having a conversation with Andrew recently about something similar, because obviously we got the big drop of that Dragon Predator 20 plus recently, €400 for a pair of football boots. That's crazy. Like, wow. And I do say that sitting right next to a pair of Korea Mercurials, which are also an insane price. So yes, as Tim said earlier, I am part of the problem. But I think there's two ways to look at it. The first one is consumer demand. If we as consumers sitting next to my career mercurials continue to buy these products at the prices that they're offering, those Dragon Predators are sold out. So next year, will Adidas come out with another Predator at 400 euros in limited quantities? You're damn right they will, because they know that we're willing to pay for it. Like, maybe they'll charge 420 euros just because, hey, they paid 400 euros for it. Like, maybe they'll pay 420 for it. So we are part of the problem. The companies will only produce what we're willing to pay for. And if we're willing to pay for it, they'll continue to produce it. So if we say, no, I'm not buying this, say those Dragon Predators, the career mercurials had sat on the shelves and nobody bought them, then maybe they don't try it again. But we bought them, so they'll try it again. So I think that's kind of one thing. It's what we're willing to go out and spend and buy. We are part of the problem. And then the bit that I'm going to steal from Andrew, which I think was a phenomenal point that he made the other day, is it links into the tech. So if somebody comes along with a piece of tech that allows them to create a boot for significantly less money while still maintaining their margins, we'll see a reduction in price. So if somebody works out a way to make a knitted boot that costs them 50% less, then they can afford to undercut the competition, pull a lot of sales from that, being like, hey, we're making this amazing boot and we're charging less than Adidas and Nike are. Like, you can't make that argument with regards to like your Lottos, your Umbros, because they don't have the same pull anyway. They're already producing cheaper boots. But if somebody does that, reduces the price and everyone goes nuts for that boot, they then in turn force the rest of the industry to do the same. And I'll finish now and let Andrew pick this up, because I believe that the example that you used was the F50, the Adizero, with the change in the sole plate. When they switched that over on the original F50, the price reduction there forced the rest of the industry to catch up with it. Otherwise, they'd have been left behind and lower the prices. So that's the other way that I can see this going. And it might be more likely than us as consumers refusing to pick up boots because, well, we are consumer-driven people and yay, capitalism.
So what you're saying is it's all our fault.
I am saying that it is at least 50% our fault, and personally, I might be 75% responsible.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to let you kind of take it from here. And so, same question, obviously, to you.
So James and I were obviously talking about this earlier, and I did mention specifically the F50 Adizero. So basically, long story short with that, before the Adizero was introduced, not just the bonding agent, but the actual thermoplastic they used on sole plates was made completely differently. So that's why if you buy like a Mania from like 2002 or something, there's a chance it's going to collapse in your hands. You know, I guarantee that in another 10 years, if you pick up an Adizero from 2010, the sole plate will still be fine. Because they changed that process. They figured out how to make it cheaper. I mean, one of their big innovations was just throwing out the midsole and being able to thermally bond the boot that way, which is another process that they patented, and then Nike came with their own thing. Anyways, it's crazy to think that, I don't know if you remember, but in the US, when the Adizero launched in 2010 before that World Cup, it came in at $210, sorry, for the synthetic, $220 for the leather. The Vapor at the time was $240. The Superfly was $400. Now, 2 years before that World Cup, we had a massive economic crash. Everybody suffered. I mean, I was getting hounded like crazy. Every order I wrote, the owner was like, maybe we don't need to order that. Maybe we don't need to order this. So it's just like, you know, trying to save money here and there. But it wasn't the crash that brought the price down. It was Adidas coming in with the F50 at, you know, undercutting the Superfly completely. The Superfly looked pointless. Why do you need carbon fiber if the Adidas was much lighter without even using any of that? I think James said, it's going to be coming down to innovation. That's going to drive prices down because, you know, they're always constantly trying to push that 400 euro, $400 limit. I mean, you know, the Boot Nerds podcast talked about price points the other day, and they're actually wrong about what the first $400 boot was. It's actually a pair of Hummels back in 2004 that was handmade in Japan. Thank you very much. I actually have a pair, but I bought them for a lot less than $400. But with them, like, yes, it's handmade in Japan, but that was still really expensive, and they didn't sell very well because the price point was astronomical at the time. Now, with that being the new normal, almost, you know, I think we'll probably see them edging up further and further until, like James said, you know, somebody comes out with a new piece of tech that completely undermines it. Somebody, I'm going to say somebody, when reality, I mean Adidas, Nike, or Puma, because, you know, the other brands don't have the market pull. They don't have the, you know, Mizuno could come out with the greatest boot ever made tomorrow. Actually, they came out with it in January. Again, my Morelius. But it doesn't mean they're going to change the entire market. You know, it's unfortunately, it's down to the big three brands who, you know, it's just like bloody Manchester United winning trophies or having all this money all the time, or Man City constantly having money. It's going to come down to, you know, the Leicesters of the world to suddenly have money and be able to compete. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be some small brands, some upstart, no matter what True Socks wants to do, because apparently their new boot is like $375,
yeah,
or something insane like that. For it's not going to be them. It's going to be Adi, Puma, or Nike who comes out with something, and it's just a big, you know, we're going to undercut you in price. But I think for now, we're probably still going to see prices go up. And that's just how it is. And I don't even think a crash will make it correct because, again, I mean, Adidas just got a 3.3 billion euro in injection by the German government. James actually had an amazing an amazing video on this coming soon.
Spoilers.
Thank you. Yes, it's spoilers. Yes, it's on the
it's
channel.
It's a really good video coming out soon. But it's the point that these companies have so much money that it's down to them to change how things are, you know. That's just the long and the short of it. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I mean,
yeah. I totally get your point. And I love the example you use with those F50s because I bought those A50s when they came out. So I absolutely love those boots. So I think that's a great example. Tim, I think you had some other questions that you had on your little list there too.
Yeah. So I mean the funny part of this is when we kicked this off, I said, hey, you know, a half hour, and you know, let's make sure that this rolls around a half hour. So we're now almost at 50 minutes. So part three is going to be actually a series of hot takes for both our guests here. So that's the game plan. So what we're actually going to do is each of you are going to get 5 minutes, and I'm actually going to give you these questions ahead of time. You already have a lot of them in the part three section here. But focusing on the future, what releases you're looking forward to, just to keep it nice and simple, what releases are you looking forward to? Will other brands make their way into the light, if you will? You know, and what does the future of boot tech look like? And, you know, we already talked about the pricing reset, so, you know, we don't have to talk about that. But just, again, focusing on what are we looking forward to release-wise in the near future? You know, what boot brands will make their way into the light, and what does the future of boot tech look like? So I will actually leave it to the two of you to decide who goes first. And again, this is a 5-minute slot for each of you.
You want to go first?
James, I've always got to have the last word, mate.
Well, in which case I'm happy to
as
go.
Long as you don't mind. I having the last word.
Oh my God, Marcin, I should have known. They're too polite for this. This is too.
We're going to be here for 5 minutes waiting for them to decide.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going to do it. And honestly, like, if you, for half an hour, you got the wrong two guys on the first episode.
Worth every second. Please continue.
You say that so, now.
Boots I'm looking forward to, ones that we know are coming, the Puma Ultra, I think, is a very interesting looking boot, mainly because I feel like there's a move back towards what we used to have with that, like the lightest boot race, which kind of stopped, you know, like Adidas had the 99 gram, Puma were dropping out SLs about 105 grams. And I feel like there's been this gradual move. And again, it's consumer demand for a lighter and lighter boot. So I feel like that light boot race is coming back. And the Puma Ultra looks to be like the flag bearer for like a brand new light boot. And there's rumors of a Puma Future S, Puma Ultra, SL as well. So if this Puma Ultra is as light as it's supposed to be, and there's an SL version, we could be looking at going back into like, you know, super lightweight boot wars kind of territory, which I think, like, if nothing else, will be interesting. And I think Puma are doing great stuff at the moment. So the Ultra I'm looking forward to. The Adidas X line, the new one, I think that looks very interesting. The sole plate, particularly with the carbon fiber inserts. That was great. Thank you very much to that. I've forgotten who it was. Is it Richardson at Burnley who accidentally leaked that on his Snapchat? It's phenomenal. I made a whole video out of the fact that this guy literally revealed exactly what the sole plate looks like on the new X20 with the carbon fiber inserts. Literally, like, just throwing content at me for my channel. Having seen that, I'm super excited to see what it comes out like. It's within the people that I know, you guys, it's very well known that I'm a big fan of the Adidas Nemesis. I think that they're probably going to kill it after this generation. I wouldn't be surprised, yes. Which makes me very sad. But at the same time, new boot lines, always exciting. My favorite, the one I've saved for last. Am I talking really fast to get into my 5 minutes?
I love it. It's high.
Like I am.
No, you're good.
Nobody can see this because it's going to be an MP3 file, but you do have the microphone set up as if you were an old-timely news reporter giving a hot take on something. So,
yes.
Yeah, you got to love it. But anyway, I'm taking from your time.
You're
please
take taking my 5 minutes. And finally, a boot that I know is coming but will receive and has received absolutely no press thus far is the new Lotto Maestro. Again, it's fairly well known that I'm a big fan of what Lotto are doing with their boots at the moment. I like the previous generation of Solista. I like the current generation of Solista. The current Maestro generation, I think, is a fantastic boot that's very underrated and very overlooked. And if Lotto continue to develop their boots in the way that they have been, they get better and better every time. They've got better and better tech. There is rumor that there will be a brand new sole plate on this Lotto Maestro, which I think is a massive improvement for them. And if they can pull that off, I would be very excited to see what comes out. Like I say, big fan of Lotto and what they're doing. I have been historically. I think that they are, this could be a controversial statement, but I'm probably going to make it. I think they're making the best boots out of anybody that's outside, like, those big brands. So I'm talking like Adi, Nike, Puma, Mizuno. Like, if you go outside that, I think they're probably making the best boots and the most innovative steps forward in multiple areas. So I'm super excited to see what they do there. And then future boot tech, hot take on that. I think the only, like, it's so hard to predict. Every time I think that somebody's reached the pinnacle of what you can do, then they're like, oh no, wait, we can do this. Like Flyknit is a perfect example. I was like, oh, Flyknit on the Vapor 12. I'm like, what else can they do with it? All of a sudden we get dual yarn Flyknit. And I'm like, okay, what can they do with it now? I'm sure they'll think of something else. But I can see potentially a desire from consumers to move back to some more synthetic boots. So I could maybe see that happening for sure, especially with this lightest boot thing I was talking about earlier. And I would love to see the 3D print tech actually happen. Obviously, Nike had that big concept boot with the fly print tech, and I'd be very interested to see how that plays into it. I'm unsure on that boot because they didn't go with a one-piece upper. I don't really know how set in stone it is that they're going to make something like that. But I think 3D print, if they can do it at a low cost with minimal waste, which was a big thing for their circle knit tech that they're using on the pro level boots and on the GS360, circle knit they can produce with zero waste. So that's fantastic for the environment. Again, another video I have coming, a second GS360 review looking at that. But yeah, circle knit tech, I think, is big for that. It's good for them, good for the environment. And if they can do 3D printing with zero waste and at a cheap cost, that could be huge. Did I cover everything and am I under 5 minutes?
Well, you know, you would have been under 5 minutes if I hadn't interrupted. So I'm gonna give it. I get this is the only thing I could do. It's the only thing I could do. I could just give it. So that was excellent. Of course, solid material is always there. So Andrew, I will throw it over to you for the swan song for the last bit of this pilot episode.
Oh, I love it. James, by the way, knew he had to mention Mizuno as one of the not saying like Mizuno isn't as good as Lotto. He knew they want to start the fights. Man, when's this thing airing? Because I have knowledge of something coming next week.
Oh.
Something very from a brand very near and dear to my heart. So,
all right, so what's Mizuno
obviously. Okay. Yeah, obviously. It's a Mizuno boot. It's probably outside of Japan, it's their most popular boot line.
Okay.
There's some interesting stuff coming. It wouldn't be considered groundbreaking for the big three, but it's pretty groundbreaking for them. And I think it's going to cement their place as far as a leather speed boot goes, or even honestly among most of the speed boots, as being my personally what I think the best speed boot is. They've got a lot of big plans. This year's the 35th anniversary of the Morelia, so their mainline brand. I know they've got a lot of stuff in store for that. I very luckily have insider knowledge on some stuff. Not so much on other stuff, but there's some great stuff coming from them. I'm really looking forward to it. I am looking forward to that new X. I have a very soft spot for Adidas. One of my best friends is actually the sales rep for the Southern US. So, shout out to Sebastian. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they come up with. I personally like the current Predator, but I would like to see if they can improve maybe with the fit that so many people have been having issues with, or maybe that Fusion skin will find its way onto a low cut. But I have a feeling that price is going to be an issue there. Future tech, I agree with James. I would love to see some of the synthetic stuff come back. I think there is a demand for it. I think it's being ignored far too much. Again, I agree with the environment. I think zero waste has to be the goal. It has to be the goal for every company. I don't think there's a choice. I will say, as like a small gimme to Mizuno, they have had an environmental grade on their boots since 2006. It's not available on their international website, but if you go on their Japanese website, they have different grades for how environmentally friendly the creation process is. Most of their made in Japan boots are B, which is the highest, but it's certainly better than lower. But I would love to see 3D print. I think we will see we'll see more customs. We will see a lot more stuff coming directly from the brands, because they can then keep 50% of the sales to themselves, because 50% is normally the markup at retail. When a retailer buys a boot, it raises 50%. That Korea Vapor, I'm sure Nike is sitting there going, yes, y'all, that's ours, because it's not appearing in any stores. But that's why you're seeing more limited releases from them. But I would like to see 3D print. There will be more custom. I will say, I mentioned this recently as a weird forgotten boot. There was a Reebok that came out around the 2010 World Cup, and you tossed it in an oven for like 5 minutes, pulled it out, slapped it on your feet. It formed your feet. I think we will see something like that. I don't think it'll be oven. I think it will be along the lines of, Nike actually has a machine they use for the athletes that they steam their shoes and then they put them on their athletes' feet, or they put them on their molds in lieu of the athletes being there. So kind of similar to the hot water trick Ronaldo used to use. I think we're going to see some sort of hot water activation, maybe cold water activation for boots. And I'm going to put this out there. I think within the next 5 years, we'll see something like that. I'm willing to be wrong, but you know, it's time. But also in 5 years, I think we'll see a lot less retailers carrying product. But part of that might be because the tech is so expensive. So
you you're wrong until you're right. I mean, you know, vice versa. So right until you're wrong. So I wouldn't worry about that. But yeah, I mean, again, just both of you nailed it timing wise. So greatly appreciate it. Tipping my hat to you virtually on that. And this really brings us towards the end. I hope everybody who listened in got a good deal of information out of it. You know, takeaways from here, we could easily go with, you know, don't always look big three, big four. Look to some of the other brands. They're doing exceptional work. It is only going to promote competition. And, you know, really lucky to have you guys on. So if we all want to sign off individually, you know, why don't we go ahead and start with James, work our way back to Andrew, then Marcin and myself. And that way you can get in touch if you need to with any of us.
Yeah, pleasure to be on, guys. I really, really, really appreciate it. Appreciate being on here, and it's so much fun. But yeah, so if you want to check me out, Instagram is at Bootwizard Boot Reviews, and my YouTube is youtube.com/bootwizard. You can hit me up on Instagram. I respond to pretty much everything, and YouTube, of course, 3 videos a week. So yeah, come and check out the beard. You can't see it on here. So if you click on a video, you can see the beard. And then even if you're not huge into boots, you can observe the beard. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This is really enjoyable. I love stuff like this. Like, again, community. I love talking to guys like this. Again, I'm at Gaijin Boot Blog. I've got my small little blog, my small little Instagram following, but I appreciate every single person I interact with. It's been great and hugely rewarding. So thank you. And I invite you to, you know, message me. If you find my Twitter, you're probably in for a nightmare, but it depends how much you like stuff like that. And lastly, brands are not your friends.
just to check in, if you haven't seen Andrew's the Gaijin Boot Blog's article called, I think it's called Brands Are Not Your Friends, right?
It is.
Go and read that. Like, go and look at it, click on the links. It's one of the best things you'll do today.
Yes, read. Anyways.
Well, cool. Like I'm gonna say this kind of from both of us. I really appreciate both you guys coming on. I think it's this mini series is gonna be a cool way to get boot culture kind of a little bit more known and more into like more following, which is obviously the kind of goal. We want more boot heads in the future. So from me and Tim, both of us, obviously, thank you guys for coming on. For me signing off, you can always follow me on Twitter at PL Juventino. Obviously, it's mostly going to be Serie A and Juve banter, but I do chime in with some hot takes on world football. So as always, I'm your host, Marcin, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.
All right. And last and definitely least, we have myself. So Tim is always available at FootyKuji on Twitter. Happy to talk to anybody on anything football related. And I think we covered it all. We're working for free boots, hoping to do this podcast, make more friends. I think we nailed it. I think we got it all. So signing off. Love y'all. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.